Everybody, Rob Maurer here. Thanks for joining today. Of course, we are going to be going through Tesla's Q4 2024 earnings report. If you are joining the live stream, glad to have you with us. We should have the earnings report come out in about 10 to 15 minutes or so. We'll chat a little bit before that. If you're joining afterwards, the timestamps will indicate when the actual earnings report does release. Also, in the show description, you'll find a link to the earnings call to come later today. We'll listen to that together. I'll take notes, and then we can chat about that afterwards as well. But good to be back. Good to see everyone for this quarterly check-in. Always a fun time. It's been a pretty crazy last quarter for Tesla, obviously, at least with the stock price. We can see today going into earnings, we're down a couple of percent. Tougher day for the NASDAQ too, down about 0.6%. It's actually recovered a little bit throughout the day, maybe related to the FOMC meeting and comments. Seemed like we had a little bit of a jump after that. Haven't followed that super closely, so probably have to look more at the news for what's going on there. But anyway, we head into earnings at about $390 a share here. Of course, over the last few months, though, we've had a pretty steep increase, obviously, since the election time period and things like that. And then we obviously had a strong reaction to the Q3 earnings report as well. So I think those things in tandem probably, obviously, pretty significantly contributing to the rise that we've seen here in the last few months. But nice to be at this $390 share price once again, even if it is a little bit lower than where we peaked at in recent days. So before we get into earnings, I guess want to chat a little bit before that comes out about the last quarter. If anyone has any questions or anything, feel free to put those in the chats. I see a super chat there. Thank you for that. I'll try to keep an eye on those things. Sometimes the super chats, even if they're, you know, like a dollar or whatever, make it a little bit easier to see if you do have a specific question that you'd like me to take a look at. And of course, after the earnings report, we'll have a little bit more time for that, as well. So I guess first thing, let's just take a look at kind of what analyst consensus and expectations are as we head into the earnings report, and then I can share just a little bit of thoughts on my end. Let's switch over to Excel here. So once we get the actual numbers, we'll fill this in so we can kind of level set versus previous quarters and versus consensus. But as you can see, consensus is available here. Really nice quarter. We haven't talked about deliveries or energy yet. Obviously, the delivery number all-time high. Energy deliveries also an all-time high. Deliveries were a little bit short of the 515,000 or so that it would have required for Tesla to have year-over-year growth, which is actually what they said to expect heading into the quarter. So a bit of a miss on deliveries in terms of those expectations that Tesla set. But I think if you kind of look at the business in aggregate, if you know, merge deliveries between auto and energy, I think the energy storage probably, you know, making up for most of, if not all of that shortfall in the delivery number, at least in terms of the profit that's probably going to be generated from those line items. So overall, obviously still a record-setting quarter, I think a strong quarter for Tesla. And since then, now we're heading into 2025, which should bring, hopefully, continued further advancements in full self-driving, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a second. Obviously, we've seen the new Model Y update in the last couple of weeks. So excited about that. Seems like Tesla has a pretty good strategy in terms of ramping up production, rolling that out as we begin the year here. Anyway, looks like about $27.2 billion expected in terms of revenue by analysts. That's a little bit higher than last quarter, a little bit less than 10% higher than last quarter. Total gross profit, they're expecting about $5 billion, pretty close to last quarter, so expecting lower gross margins this quarter. Last quarter, we did have a couple of notable items on the gross margin line. Regulatory credits were about $740 million. That was down from Q2, but still relatively higher than where we had seen regulatory credits coming in. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're around that level again, but just a significant portion when we're talking about specifically the gross profit line, since obviously those regulatory credits flow through. So something to keep an eye on there. Excuse me. And then we did have, I've got a little note down here, but we did have $326 million of FSD revenue recognized in the third quarter related to Cybertruck and certain features like actually Smart Summon. So I think people get this a little bit mixed up. It's both of those items, Cybertruck and actually Smart Summon. I think a good portion of that is Cybertruck, but not necessarily all of it. That definitely, at least in my opinion, contributed to the milestone that Tesla announced last quarter, which was achieving profitability on the Cybertruck. I would be a little bit surprised if that's the case in Q4. I don't know that we saw that much more significant volume, but hopefully Tesla is continuing to keep those costs coming down. Really the best way for anyone to look at it, including Tesla, and I'm sure this is how they're looking at it, is just the average cost of goods sold on those vehicles as production continues to ramp for Cybertruck. So factoring out the FSD revenue and deferred revenue specifically on that, obviously that should calculate into overall automotive gross margins, into Cybertruck margins and things. It is real money, real profit that Tesla has earned. Just the deferred portion, if you, take revenue that you earned in a previous quarter and you apply that and it's high margin revenue in one quarter specifically, it's going to inflate that quarter, not necessarily in a way that's sustainable going forward. So that's the only thing to kind of just keep an eye on, more things. But one thing to keep an eye on is that deferred revenue. We may still get some more in this fourth quarter. We'll have to see. But, those two in tandem, about $1 billion in relatively, high margin revenue. So I think that's part of why analysts are, even with the higher delivery number, expecting maybe a little bit of a drop in gross margin. That's probably fair. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we're seeing a, forecast to drop in operating margin as well. And then GAAP earnings per share up a little bit, again, on the higher revenue base. So even though your percentages here are a little bit lower, when you're generating more revenue, that means more profit in terms of the dollars. So ultimately, analysts are expecting about 77 cents non-GAAP earnings per share, 66 cents GAAP. One note on the GAAP earnings per share, you may remember that last year Tesla had deferred revenue recognized that really inflated GAAP earnings per share by about $1.70, it looks like. So as we get these numbers, if you look at a price to earnings ratio, we factored that out in sort of our historical number here, but if you're looking at price to earnings ratio, it's just going to report the GAAP number, so that's going to be inflated. That deferred tax revenue adjustment will drop off once we get these numbers. So just something to keep in mind that the price to earnings ratio will spike a bit after this, unless we have, for some reason, an insanely good quarter, which wouldn't even make sense. So a couple of things just to keep an eye on as we head into the earnings report here. All right, so let's see. Thank you all for those super chats. Appreciate that. Lily, Warbird, Team JG. All right, we've got a couple of minutes before market close. Let me switch over back to the browser. We'll just keep an eye on things as we head into close. We should get the earnings report, a few minutes after close. Generally, it seems like it's been within 5 minutes. Eric asking, appreciate the super chat. Eric asking if I'm higher or lower earnings per share than consensus. I stopped doing my specific quarterly forecasts a few quarters ago, so I don't have an estimate this time for a number of reasons. Number one, just obviously stepping back from Tesla Daily, I'm not following the company as closely, still extremely closely. It would be hard to compete with how it was before, still very closely, but the quarterly numbers right now, I just don't think are really all that important, whether we get 80 cents earnings per share or, 68 cents earnings per share. Whatever the case may be, a lot of those things are going to be driven by one-time items anyway. I think it's more important to look at some of the things like automotive gross margin X credits, which of course we'll talk about. Saw a really nice improvement there last quarter. That was one of the things that I think led to the strong positive reaction. Cost per goods sold, average cost of goods sold per vehicle was down about $1,700 from the prior quarter, last quarter. So that was really great to see, and I think gave the market confidence that Tesla can continue to have pricing power and hopefully continue to grow volumes. And hopefully we, with the Model Y refresh, hopefully Tesla, through the design process, has built in ways to continue to drive that average cost of goods sold per vehicle down throughout this year as well. Obviously, that's not going to happen immediately. They'll have to get ramped up back to volume production, and that'll probably cause a hit. Not in Q4, but in future quarters, Q1, Q2, until Tesla gets ramped back up. It did seem like a lot of people on X, or some of the analysts, more detailed analyst forecasts that I've seen, have been a little bit lower than this. So I'd suppose like the whisper number is probably a little bit lower than the 77 cents. But for me, like I was beginning to say, not too important. Other parts of the earnings report I think are going to be more interesting. And right now, no surprise, really the big focus for everyone should be progress of FSD. I posted this a few quarters ago. My thoughts there have not changed. I don't really care if Tesla's delivering 495,000 or 510,000 vehicles. It's, a marginal difference. What really matters right now is the pace of progress and the actual progress for FSD. I think there's been a lot of that. And if that can continue this year, as Tesla had talked about on the previous calls, I think they saw 100 to 1,000 times improvements in the safety critical disengagement rate on FSD throughout the course of 2024, and they expect that rate of progress to continue through 2025. If that's the case, no, I don't care what this quarter's earnings are. So maybe a bit of a cop-out answer there, but FSD is definitely the most important during this period of time. Secondarily to that, Tesla's talked about new products. Obviously, we've seen the refresh now with the Model Y, but my understanding is that there are additional products that we should see throughout the course of this year. So that's more of an earnings call topic, most likely. Maybe they talk a little bit about it in the shareholder deck, but something to keep an eye on there too. All right, I did have more to talk about. We're getting into market close here, so let's switch back. Let's just see if anything's coming out. Sorry for the commotion outside, as you guys probably remember. I'm sure you can hear that. Nothing too big in after-hours movement yet. We're just about a minute after market close at the moment, so I wouldn't expect the report to be out. But I've got the page queued up here. Sometimes the refreshing doesn't work. I can empty my cache, but we'll see. I've got this, what I expect to be the hyperlink loaded up as well, the Q3 earnings report, and then we can just check on X here and see if anything's going on. Sometimes we never know what we're going to see here, obviously, but sometimes that can give us a little bit of a hint too. So most of the times it seems like we get our first hint from the some sort of significant movement after hours as algorithms react to whatever earnings per share number or revenue number or whatever other number that they're filtering out from the earnings report when it gets released, automatically reacting to those things. All right, see another couple other super chats coming in here. Thank you for those, guys. Appreciate that. Harry, appreciate that. I do think about it. Right now, the quarterly pace is good for me, but I do see the comments that are urging more frequency. Always appreciate the feedback. So if that's something that people really want, it is helpful to tell me. Otherwise, I'll assume not. And Jeff, thank you. 2 seconds talking about the hate for Musk and if you think things will affect, if that will affect things going forward. Yeah, so it's obviously a very political time. It's probably not the best time to like get into this conversation when we're expecting the earnings report. Just in a couple of minutes here, it's obviously that's a little bit more of a lengthy conversation. I'll try to remember that, whether it's at the end of this episode or the end of earnings. I'm sure this will come up again. You know, I don't want to get like too deep into politics, but obviously it's relevant to what's going on with Tesla, what's going on with the stock price and things like that. So definitely a fair topic to discuss. All right, a little bit of movement here. Let's see if we've got anything. Doesn't seem to be anything yet. Still not a ton of movement. Let me try to get caught back up here in the chat because sometimes you guys spot it before I do. Looks like we're kind of back to flat after hours. John, thank you. Appreciate that. Geekaholic, thank you. Lyle, thank you. Most interested in power and semi-topics. Tesla Energy's been doing great. I know that's pretty obvious, but exciting to see. I'm curious on the profit margin this quarter. Last quarter was very strong, and we had even better delivery. Ooh, what's that? See if that's real. Sometimes Google After Hours just has those false spikes. I don't know if that's like option stuff or just errors. Okay, let's see. All right, so it's out. We just got this refresh here. That link worked. As you can see, market reacting initially a little bit negative, not too strong of a reaction yet, but we'll just take a quick look at some of the lower level numbers, you know, towards the bottom of the income statement. You can see earnings per share, 73 cents per share. So that's a little bit lower than analyst consensus. Not too far off from a lot of other estimates I saw, though. Not too far off of analyst consensus either. So it doesn't seem too crazy, but obviously depends still what's going on elsewhere. Looks like automotive revenues, right off the bat, it seems like those are quite a bit lower than what was expected. I think $21.1 billion was the expectation from analysts. So that's probably driving a lot of this. But that could mean that we've got a better gross margin number, which as I'm seeing, looks like no, but potentially, interesting. I'm surprised that's as close as it is to consensus, with some of these other numbers being lower, like GAAP gross margin looks a little bit lower, operating margin looks a little bit lower than expectations, and you know, automotive revenue as well. So still coming relatively close. Obviously, we'll have to sort through exactly what's going on as we go through the report. I do want to read through it because, again, the numbers, they're important, but there's probably other things that are more interesting or equally interesting to us. Right now, it looks like after hours down about 4% or so. So the negative reaction continues off the bat here. I'm going to close this. Well, I'll leave this Q3 report open, but hopefully I don't get mixed up here. All right, so let's take a look at some of the numbers here, the summary and the highlights that Tesla's put together. So $7.1 billion GAAP operating income in 2024, $1.6 billion in Q4. Same on the net income line, but $2.3 billion in Q4, including $0.6 billion mark-to-market gain on digital assets. So shoot, I meant to talk about that before the accounting rules for Bitcoin have changed. Usually, or in all the past reports that we talked about, it would be the situation where the accounting for Bitcoin would have to happen at the lowest price that Bitcoin had ever been at, and you'd have to mark it down to that. They changed that rule, so now you can actually reflect what it is currently at, and it looks like that led to a big markup here, which is about $0.6 billion, $600 million. That seems to be what's driving this earnings per share number closer to expectations. Otherwise, it does look like across the board, the numbers are probably quite a bit lower. It's tough to say if the analysts had that. If the analysts had that in their forecast, I would guess probably not, or maybe not 100%, because maybe some analysts include it, maybe some don't, and that's what makes looking at kind of like consensus or average numbers really tricky, because you never know exactly how people are going to factor in some of those things. But that's definitely a positive contributor to the earnings, and something that doesn't really have any material impact on the business. You know, it's just the mark to market, so there's nothing to do with the core Tesla business, nothing to do with go forward, just only to do with how you expect Bitcoin to perform going forward. So something that should probably be factored out, and definitely driving, you know, closer to consensus expectations as a part of that, which then means if you remove that, the numbers would look more negative. Okay, so $8.4 billion non-GAAP net income in 2024, $2.6 billion in Q4. Cash, operating cash flow of about $15 billion throughout the year, $4.8 billion in Q4. Really nice free cash flow. Of course, production was lower than deliveries, so it kind of makes sense on that line. But $3.6 billion throughout the year, $2 billion in the fourth quarter. And a $7.5 billion increase in cash and investments in 2024 to about $36.5 billion. Operations, Tesla increased AI training compute by over 400% in 2024. Love to see that. And over 3 billion miles driven cumulatively on FSD supervised as of January, and completed construction of Megafactory in Shanghai. So that's nice. We are starting to get to the point where Lathrop facility is close to at full production rate. So we're going to need Megafactory Shanghai to start contributing to that production growth to continue to see the growth that we've seen on the energy storage deployment line. All right, for the summary, Tesla says Q4 was a record quarter for both vehicle deliveries and energy storage deployments. We expect Model Y to once again be the best-selling vehicle of any kind globally for the full year 2024, and we've made it even better with the new Model Y now launched in all markets. In 2024, we made significant investments in infrastructure that will spur the next wave of growth for the company, including vehicle manufacturing capabilities for new models, AI training compute, and energy storage manufacturing capacity. Affordability remains top of mind for customers, and we continue to review every aspect of our cost of goods sold per vehicle to alleviate this concern. In Q4, cost of goods per vehicle reached its lowest level ever at less than $35,000. We'll calculate that specifically later. Driven largely by raw material cost improvement, helping us to partially offset our investment in compelling financing and lease options. The energy business achieved another record in Q4 with its highest ever gross profit generation. Construction of Megafactory Shanghai was completed in December and will begin ramping this quarter. Powerwall deployments achieved another record quarter as we continue to ramp Powerwall 3 production and launch in additional markets. 2025 will be a seminal year in Tesla's history as FSD Supervised continues to rapidly improve, with the aim of ultimately exceeding human levels of safety. This will eventually unlock unsupervised FSD for our customers and the robotaxi business, which we expect to begin launching later this year in parts of the US. We also continue to work on launching FSD supervised in Europe and China in 2025. All right, so I think a lot of things that, you know, we've heard Tesla talk quite a bit about. We talked about the new Model Y before this. They do talk about the next wave of growth, including vehicle manufacturing capabilities for new models. That I don't know if I'd call it a red flag, and sorry if I'm covering that. But it is a, to me, a change in the language versus what Tesla had said in Q3. So if we kind of go back to that, it talks about preparations remain underway for our offering of new vehicles, including more affordable models, which we will begin launching in the first half of 2025. Hopefully Tesla will talk about this on the earnings call. Hopefully it's just a, you know, change in the language as we head into a new year and not really anything to do with the timeline. But vehicle manufacturing capabilities for new models is different than, you know, beginning launching affordable new models in the first half of 2025. Those are pretty stark contrasts. So could mean a delay on those things. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more information on that during the earnings call, but initially definitely an item that I would have some questions on. Energy, highest ever gross profit in energy generation in the fourth quarter. That's fantastic. We'll see what the margin rate was. No surprise with the 11 gigawatt hours of deliveries that we would see record profit in terms of dollars. Shanghai, talked about that. Nice to see Powerwall as well. Obviously, Megapack, probably the large driver in that energy deployment bucket now, but still nice to see Powerwall setting records as well. And then FSD, you know, kind of reiterating what we've heard from Tesla before. Again, this is probably the most important thing. Nice to hear Tesla talk about increasing the training compute by over 400% in 2024, but of course, some things that we knew about there. So again, I think probably most of the numbers here, including average selling price and, you know, maybe operating margins coming in below expectations, we'll see how much of this was regulatory credit revenue. If that's a low number, that could help explain things. See if we can find that somewhere. Tesla sometimes moves these things around, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Let's see. See if we can find it here. All right, so $692 million of automotive regulatory credit revenue this quarter, a little bit lower than both of the last two quarters, still quite a bit higher than last year's Q4, which was $433 million. If I had to guess, my guess is that's probably somewhere around what analyst expectations would have been on that regulatory credit revenue line. So still significant, not something that I would say, you know, if this had been a couple hundred million dollars, that would be much bigger of an explanation of revenue coming in below what analysts expected. And yes, those are just analyst expectations. That's not the end-all be-all of assessing the business. But at the end of the day, the stock price is also based on expectations, and those are informed by analyst expectations in both directions. So still important to consider. But let's continue to go through for some of the numbers. Obviously, we'll take a closer look at that when we get back into Excel here in a minute, but still plenty for us to go through in the report. Just real quick on cost of goods sold, they did say that declined below $35,000, so that means that we're at least a couple hundred dollars per unit less in the fourth quarter. Some of that can be attributed to volume. You have those costs amortized over more vehicles when you have higher delivery numbers, but still we'll take a look at, you know, how much progress specifically was made there. So the financial summary, revenue increased 2% year-over-year Q4, improved from growth in energy generation, storage and services and other, growth in vehicle deliveries, higher regulatory credit revenue. Again, this is a year-over-year look, so down quarter-over-quarter, but up year-over-year. Reduced vehicle average selling price, excluding foreign exchange impact due to pricing, attractive financing options and mix. Profitability, operating income decreased 23% year-over-year to $1.6 billion in Q4, resulting in a 6.2% operating margin. Year-over-year operating income was primarily impacted by the following items: reduced ASP, increased operating expenses driven by AI and other R&D projects. Again, we'll take a close look at that later on. Growth in energy, so offset by growth in energy, services, and other. Lower cost per vehicle, including lower raw material costs, partially offset by lower fixed cost absorption from production decrease year over year, and higher regulatory credit revenue. And then cash, quarter and cash equivalents, as we said, about $36.5 billion, sequential increase of $2.9 billion, primarily the result of positive free cash flow, $2 billion in the fourth quarter. So here we can see production, deliveries, we already knew those numbers. 12 days of supply at the end of the year in terms of inventory. Nice to see that be a relatively lower number for Tesla versus the last few quarters. It's not the lowest we've ever seen it. Used to be single days. That was probably an unhealthy low position for inventory. This, I think, is great. If anything, it's probably on the low side. But with Tesla converting over to the new Model Y, it definitely makes sense for that to be the case heading into 2025. Storage, we've talked about that. But obviously, a fantastic number there with 11 gigawatt hours deployed in the fourth quarter. And then you can continue to see growth in Tesla locations. Looks like the mobile service fleet actually declined a little bit, which is somewhat unusual, but pretty slow growth, obviously, that we've been seeing throughout the year. So not terribly surprising, at least on that line. And then despite some of the criticisms and the drama with the supercharging team, still seeing continued healthy growth in supercharging stations and connectors, both quarter over quarter and year over year. Here are the year numbers. We won't spend too much time on that. I guess just one, really nice item to note. We already talked about deliveries being slightly down year over year, production down 4%, deliveries down 1%. But we can see here, energy storage, obviously one of the most successful parts of Tesla throughout 2024. That was up 114% in terms of storage deployed year over year. So nice to see that. All right, so vehicle capacity. Let's just take a quick look at this chart and see if there's any changes there from the third quarter chart, which is right here. I'm guessing probably not. Yeah, so the... Yeah. Nothing, at least to my eye, nothing changed there, except for, I think, next-gen platform now is actually listed as CyberCab, as being in development in Texas, rather than just various and next-gen platform. Roadster still in development, so someday, hopefully. All right, continuing here, vehicle capacity. Preparations are underway across our existing factories for the launch of new products in 2025, including more affordable models. All right, so we talked about that before. That is much more specific than the summary page. However, it does say in 2025, not necessarily in the first half of 2025. Maybe you could assume that the first half of 2025 portion of that was the new Model Y. There's debate about whether these new models that Tesla's been referring to consider the refresh Model Y as one of those or not. Now we can clearly tell that although the new Model Y has been launched, there is still going to be launch of new products in 2025, including more affordable models. So that takes away some of that potential gray area there. But it does also look like that's probably going to happen a little bit later in the year than maybe was expected by some based on some of the language that had been used in the Q3 earnings report that we looked at before. So I'm glad that they reiterated that. I'm glad that the 2025 timeline is reiterated. We haven't seen any of these new products as far as we know, so not terribly surprising that that's not going to happen sometime in the next 4 or 5 months, potentially. That doesn't rule that out, but that would be my read on it from just these couple of data points. All right, so in the U.S., California, Nevada, and Texas, semi-factory construction continued in the fourth quarter and recently completed roof and wall enclosure of the main building. First truck builds are scheduled to start by the end of 2025, with ramp beginning in early 2026. Preparation is underway for CyberCab lines at Gigafactory Texas, with volume production planned in 2026. So nice to hear about the semi-progress, nice to hear about CyberCab. I don't think anything new on the timelines on either of those items at the moment. Still on US, given its unique functionality, including power share, stainless steel exterior, enhanced durability, and bioweapon defense mode, we deployed a fleet of Cybertrucks equipped with Starlink in the Los Angeles area to help first responders and those impacted by the fires get access to electricity and Wi-Fi. We expect Cybertruck to be eligible for the IRA consumer tax credit, helping to improve affordability and access for even more customers. I think that's been talked about, so not anything new there. In Asia Pacific, in Q4, we achieved record deliveries in China as Model Y became the best-selling vehicle for the full year. Tesla also became the fastest-growing brand in South Korea, and we launched vehicle sales in the Philippines. And in Europe, in 2024, Model Y was the best-selling vehicle of any type in Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and the Netherlands, and we expect Model Y to have the second best-selling vehicle of any type in Europe. Tesla was the most sold brand in Norway for the fourth year in a row, with Model Y and Model 3 the best-selling and second best-selling cars of any type in 2024. So obviously, some individual successes there in some countries in Europe. I think overall, it was probably a pretty tough year for Tesla in Europe relative to, you know, some of the other markets. You can kind of see the market share here. Obviously, a little bit of a dip there in Europe, probably more significant than the small dip that we saw in the US. And then interestingly, in the probably the most competitive electric vehicle market in China, Tesla seemed to slightly grow share throughout the year in 2024. All right, technology. So AI, software, and hardware. We'll just take a quick look at the charts here first. So you can see the miles driven continuing to increase. Tesla noting that they're now above 3 billion cumulative miles on FSD in January. So this does cut off a little bit before that at year end, just under the 3 billion mark. But you can see some pretty significant progress of just maybe under a billion, maybe 750 million miles there in the fourth quarter. I do want to share some of my thoughts on FSD and my new vehicle and stuff, so we'll talk about that a little bit after the earnings report stuff. All right, in Q4, we completed the development, or the deployment, rather, of Cortex, a roughly 50,000 H100 training cluster at Gigafactory Texas. Cortex helped us enable version 13 of FSD Supervised, which boasts major improvements in safety and comfort thanks to 4.2 times increase in data, higher resolution video inputs, 2 times reduction in photon to control latency and redesigned controller, among other enhancements. FSD Supervised can now start from park and perform unpark, reverse, and park capabilities. In Q4, Tesla vehicles using autopilot technologies drove 5.94 million miles between accidents, the best Q4 ever, compared to the US average of 0.7 million miles. Progress on Optimus hardware and software continued in Q4, including the latest generation hand, robust locomotion, and training on additional tasks ahead of planned pilot production in 2025. There have been a lot of rumors about this, about Tesla maybe targeting like parts for 600 bots per day, I believe was what it was. Maybe it was per week. I'd have to go back and just look at that quick, but who knows if those reports are accurate, but what we know is accurate is that Tesla is definitely planning to have some sort of significant, more, you know, I'd call it significant scale of Optimuses out and about being produced, hopefully being put to good work in Tesla's factories, you know, throughout the course of this year and next year. So again, I think this is happening sooner than people think. This year could definitely be sort of an eye-opening moment for people in that regard. All right, vehicle and other software. The holiday release included Apple Watch support. Customers can pair their watch as a key to unlock and lock their vehicle without ever pressing a button, just like the phone key. With a premium connectivity subscription, dashcam and Sentry Mode clips can be viewed and downloaded directly from the Tesla mobile app. An animated 3-hour precipitation forecast can be viewed on the map, and Sirius XM is now available for our full lineup with launch of the native app for Model 3, Model Y, and Cybertruck. For battery powertrain and manufacturing, we processed our first spodumene lithium-containing concentrate through the front end of the lithium refinery, only 18 months after groundbreaking, much faster than any plant we know of outside of Asia. The intermediate material was on spec, and we are on track to commission the plant in 2025. Our in-house 4680 cell production hit a rate exceeding 2,500 Cybertrucks per week. I don't know what the last milestone update that Tesla gave us on that, but we could go back and just kind of see how that 4680 ramp is progressing. So nice to get a little bit of a data point on that. And nice to hear more about the lithium refinery. Obviously, we've seen, you know, the last year and a half Tesla working on that since groundbreaking. Nice to see the first part of production of that coming out. I don't think that's something that's going to be a huge needle mover for us. When Tesla started this, the lithium market was in a very, 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 very different position than it is right now. So at the time, this was much more higher ROI project than it is currently with the market. However, this is a fantastic thing for Tesla to have to de-risk, and there still should be economic benefits once Tesla's able to get that up to scale, at least I would presume, but they will be a little bit lower in this current market. Now, who knows how the lithium market will change over time? I would expect that it will change to some degree. So if and when that does happen again, Tesla would be much better positioned with their supply chain just from having, you know, a little bit of expertise in this area if and when that time comes. All right, so here is the, I believe this is the safety report that Tesla, just a different format of the safety report that Tesla generally publishes. This is the best way to look at it, in my opinion. When you look at how Tesla has historically published it, it's just been individual quarters. You know, you see the entire year, and it looks like there's a lot of up and down stuff. My take, as I've talked about before, is that the volatility quarter to quarter has a lot to do with just general accident rates seasonally. You know, you would presume that certainly in areas that are getting snow, that those accident rates probably increase pretty significantly in the winter months. So I think the best way to has always been to look at this on a year-over-year basis, which is exactly how Tesla is displaying it here. And you can see just fantastic, smooth progress here in terms of the sort of accident rates when autopilot or FSD is engaged, relative to you know, both Tesla vehicles that are not using autopilot and just the general average. We've talked many times about what this data is good for, what it's not necessarily good for. One of the things that I think it's great for, though, is just comparing that progress over time, because this is, you know, this red line, this is comparing against itself. There's no, you know, worrying about like, oh, the US fleet on average is older vehicles, and those older vehicles don't have as good a safety system, so they're more likely to get collisions or break something and then cause a collision. All that stuff is fair when you're comparing red line to gray line, but red line versus itself, that's all just the same data. So it shows that Tesla's autopilot system is, you know, undeniably getting better as time goes by, almost twice as good as it was 5 years ago. So exciting to see that, that continued, you know, very, very nice progress in terms of safety. This matters, you know, this is saving lives most likely. So it's a pretty big deal. All right, other highlights. Energy continued to grow rapidly in 2024 as we expand capacity for both Megapack and Powerwall to meet demand. Services and Other, a collection of businesses that support new vehicle sales, achieved its third year in a row of profitability in 2024. Okay, so Energy, Services, and Other gross profit. So this is a combination of both of those buckets. You can see the fourth quarter was a little bit less. We'll take a closer look at that when we get into the Excel review. And then energy storage deployments, you can see that quarter over quarter, so just a graph of those numbers that we've already talked about. The energy business achieved record deployments for both Powerwall and Megapack at a combined 11 gigawatt hours, resulting in record gross profit in the fourth quarter. Material and other costs continued to come down in Q4 at the Lathrop Megafactory. Both Powerwall and Megapack continue to be supply constrained as we open new markets and demand for energy storage products continues to grow. With construction completed, Shanghai Megafactory will begin ramping in the first quarter. Excuse me. Services and Other. In Q4, we added over 3,000 supercharger stalls to the network and delivered 1.4 terawatt hours of energy. We unveiled our version 4 cabinet, which supports 400 volt to 1,000 volt vehicle architectures, charges up to 500 kilowatts for passenger vehicles and 1.2 megawatts for Tesla Semi, and has cutting-edge power electronics with 3 times the power density. We launched battery heating at superchargers, a feature that gets vehicles with lithium iron phosphate battery packs back on the road up to 4 times faster. Tesla actually did some pretty cool things with the battery technology in that, some like counterintuitive stuff a little bit. So pretty cool if you read into the technical details of that. Just wanted to highlight that. Anyway, Tesla also continued to welcome more OEMs to the North American supercharger network, including the first NACS native vehicles. Overall, in 2024, we launched superchargers in 3 new countries, added over 10,000 new supercharger stalls, and grew the network by 19% year-over-year for a total of 65,000-plus superchargers worldwide. We delivered 5.2 terawatt-hours, offsetting 5.5 billion kilograms of direct CO2 emissions and 2.4 billion liters of gasoline. I know we all love those statistics. Usually we talk about those things with the impact reports, but nice to see Tesla sharing some of that in the earnings report here as well. All right, so let's see. We've got the outlook section here. So for volume, looks like with the advancements in vehicle autonomy and introduction of new products, we expect the vehicle business to return to growth in 2025. The rate of growth will depend on a variety of factors, including the rate of acceleration of our autonomy efforts, production ramp at our factories, and the broader macroeconomic environment. We expect energy storage deployments to grow at least 50% year over year in 2025. So nice to see that. That's going to be a significant number again in gigawatt hours off the 31, I think it was this year. So expecting, you know, 45 to 50 gigawatt hours, it sounds like, in 2025. So let me just make sure I'm reading this, getting all of this as I read through this. So vehicle business to return to growth. Tesla had mentioned maybe 20-25% before, I believe. No specific number here in terms of vehicle growth, but at least some growth, which will depend on a lot of different things. So not terribly surprising. Tesla's usually pretty, you know, vague with guidance. So that continues here. I wouldn't be shocked if we hear something a little bit more specific from Elon on the earnings call. Sometimes that happens, but we'll see. Sufficient cash, no surprise there. Kind of the same statement that Tesla has had over on that line for a long time. For profit, while we continue to execute on innovations to reduce the cost of manufacturing and operations, over time we expect our hardware-related profits to be accompanied by an acceleration of AI software and fleet-based profits. And then for product, plans for new vehicles, including more affordable vehicles, remain on track to start production in the first half of 2025. Fantastic. All right, I don't know why the language change. I think that should have been stated very, very early on in the report. But it does look like those remain on track for start of production in the first half of 2025. So, fantastic. I take back all my previous comments. We should probably always just come down and read this product outlook section first. Note for next time. These vehicles will utilize aspects of the next generation platform as well as aspects of our current platforms and will be produced on the same manufacturing lines as our current vehicle lineup. Nothing new there. We've heard that before. This approach will result in achieving less cost reduction than previously expected, but enables us to prudently grow our vehicle volumes in a more capex-efficient manner during uncertain times. This should help us fully utilize our current expected maximum capacity of close to 3 million vehicles, enabling more than 60% growth over 2024 production before investing in new manufacturing lines. Our purpose-built robotaxi product, CyberCab, will continue to pursue a revolutionary unbox manufacturing strategy and is scheduled for volume production starting in 2026. Okay, so enabling more than 60% growth over 2024 production, that's fantastic. We've heard Tesla talk about that 3 million before. If we're talking about production capacity, remember that production is not always going to match production capacity. Look no further than this year. Certainly Tesla's production capacity is higher than the roughly 1.8 million vehicles that they produced. But you're going to have downtime. You're going to have product refreshes like we saw in 2024 with Highland, like we're seeing now in early 2025. With the Model Y, there's probably going to be some potentially some downtime associated with the start of the production in these other more affordable vehicles. So just remember, when you see that 60% number, don't just put that on the delivery line and call it good for your forecast. There's many other things to consider before sort of locking something like that in. All right, so here we can see it looks like the cost is probably around like $34,800 or so is my guess. Again, we'll calculate that a little bit later. But nice to see that continued decline in average cost of goods sold. I don't think anyone expected as big of a jump downward as we saw last quarter. That was a very significant one, probably one of the most significant that we've ever seen for Tesla in sort of like a quote unquote normal quarter. You know, early on with the Model 3, you're going to see stark differences, but in a more normal quarter, that was a huge jump. Nice to see still a decline here, even if not quite to the degree that we saw last quarter. All right, Cybertruck. That's an interesting chart. We'll come back to that. Let's just get through the rest of the photos here. New Model Y. I'm sure everyone's seen that. We can talk a little bit more about that if people are interested. Looks like this is a comparison just in terms of new Model Y versus current Model Y. Obviously, both are still available for sale in the United States. I don't think that's the case for all markets outside of maybe inventory vehicles, but you can see a recap here. If you've been following this on X, you've probably seen all the differences between the old and the new, but I think it's going to be a pretty major upgrade for the vehicle. And again, happy to talk more about my Model 3 here in a minute. Semi-factory, nice to see this coming along. Zangler's doing a great job of tracking that if you guys are following him on X. General assembly for Megafactory Shanghai. So I'm sure we're all excited about that. That's going to be interesting to see how quickly that ramps up, given what we saw with Gigafactory Shanghai back in the day. Spodumene Day. That's funny. So this is the Tesla Lithium team on Spodumene Day. It's a cool name for a day. Looks like they got CyberCab out there too. All right, here's Cortex, the 50,000 GPU training cluster in Texas. Cool to see that. Very similar to what we've seen from the XAI Colossus as well. So there's more for Cortex, and then we get into our financial reports here. And again, we'll come back to the financials here in a second. Let's go back to that Cybertruck chart just to see. I'm assuming this is just a recap of things that we've talked about in terms of some of the things that Tesla's done with the vehicle that they'll use in future vehicles, which I think is a really good point. I think we're still in a period where we're not really sure exactly how successful the Cybertruck is going to be. A lot of that depends on how costs come down, which we didn't see anything in here about Cybertruck being profitable. Doesn't mean it wasn't, but since Tesla already talked about that last quarter, there may not be a need to mention it. However, I do think that was driven by, you know, that FSD recognition. That was a very big part of, you know, the profitability on that vehicle last quarter. So would like to see that reiterated in some way, shape, or form at some point. But really, I think the success overall of the vehicle is going to depend on how quickly those costs are coming down and how Tesla can use that in terms of the average selling price on the vehicle. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it continues to develop. I don't know that we need to go through all of this stuff. We can just see some of the major things. I'm sure we've talked about all of these things before. 48-volt electric architecture, 800-volt battery system, Ethernet communication architecture. All these things are going to, you know, reduce wiring, make communications, you know, more efficient with the vehicle. Probably pretty marginal power savings, but all things that are going to improve efficiency, improve part cost, vehicle weight, all those sort of things. Bidirectional charging, obviously talked about that. Ride and comfort, so a lot of this stuff outside of steer-by-wire rear wheel steering, of course, not available in other vehicles at the moment, but Tesla, again, checking the box that these will be available in future vehicles. It's pretty cool. I wonder how rear wheel steering would work on like a Model 3 or a Model Y size vehicle, if that would be any significant improvement in maneuverability. Might be kind of fun. But yeah, hopefully, you know, I'm sure we'll see these sort of things in Cybercab. I don't know if we should expect to see them in these, you know, certainly more affordable vehicles. Maybe some of them, like the 48-volt architecture, would love to see that. So Tesla can start to, you know, build that supply chain up and things like that. But we'll have to see. All right, so we are through the deck. We'll hop through the financials, and then we can go through just some more general thoughts here. I do want to just check the stock price here quick. I'm sure it's probably still... Oh, I guess not. What happened? Interesting. I'm very surprised that that's the case. Again, the financials here don't look quite strong. Don't look very strong relative to expectations. I think a lot of that's driven by that Bitcoin mark-to-market. So, interesting. I mean, I'm glad to see that. Like, gonna refresh again just to make sure. Maybe it's because of the, you know, more affordable vehicles. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Elon tweeted something. If he did, let me know in the super chat so I can see that. But interesting. Maybe it's the case of everyone like me not seeing the outlook section for the more affordable vehicles. Tesla reiterating that happening in the first half of this year. I do think that's, you know, throughout this entire report, as I talked about FSD, you know, we didn't expect to learn a whole lot about FSD in the shareholder letter, obviously. So I think that's one of the most important things. And then in terms of just how the business looks this year, those more affordable vehicles are, now that we have the refresh Model Y, those are probably the biggest question marks, probably the biggest opportunity for excitement with the stock as we look at the rest of this year. Could be people picking up on that 60% growth number. Again, that's production capacity. That needs to be level set against both actual production then and then also deliveries. So those are, you know, very different numbers, but certainly 60% growth in production capacity, even setting aside that context, is still a very exciting proposition. And again, some fundamental progress here. It's nice to see the average cost of goods sold continue to come down. Maybe some concern that, I don't know, last quarter was for some reason a one-time spike in that line item, spike downward in that line item. So maybe people are excited to see that consistency and continued decline there. But yeah, that's a pretty surprising reaction to me, but I'll take it. All right, so I'm just going to just quickly check the chat here and see if there's something else that happened here that I may have missed. And then we'll hop over to Excel here in a second. for those super chats that I didn't get to, I appreciate those. I'll try to get to those once we once we're done with looking at some of the financials here. People are saying it happened when I said I'd take it back. That's funny. I doubt that's the case, but I appreciate the appreciate the thought. That's funny. All right, cool. Interesting. Well, let's look at Excel. As I say every quarter, this is obviously the most exciting part of the episode. Watching me put numbers in a spreadsheet. I told myself I wasn't going to make that joke again this quarter, but it's just right there. All right, so automotive sales again. The analyst expectation was $21.2 billion. I think we ended at like 19.8. I'm just going to go through and fill these out, and then we'll talk a little bit more about them as we go, so just bear with me here for a minute. And then again, I've got a few other things, if time permitting. If not, we'll do it after the earnings call. Just a reminder that the link for that is in the description. We'll listen to that together as well. That's coming up in about 50 minutes from now. All right, so total automotive revenue was, 19.8, so 19. My microphone's also slightly in the way here, so my typing might be a bit slow. All right, 19,798. So you can see analyst expectations were about 7% higher. This is a decline year over year of about 8% from the $21.5 billion last year, even though we do have higher regulatory credits. So, you know, a lot of softness in average selling price, as Tesla talked a little bit about in the report. We'll calculate that number here in a second. Energy generation, that was 3061. So definitely an interesting line here. You can see just a small improvement from Q2, where we had just over $3 billion as well. This is about, you know, $45 million or so more, even though we did have 1.6 gigawatt hours additional energy storage here. I have to do the math on what the, you know, average selling price would be here. But I think these lines in general, probably the best way to look at them is sort of a rolling 6-month average, because you have deferred revenue, you have projects being started and then recognized later on. So it's not quite as straightforward maybe as what we see with the automotive line all the time. So whether we're looking at deployments, whether we're looking at revenue, whether we're looking at profit, I think rolling 6 months is probably the best way to look at the energy lines. Nevertheless, another strong revenue number there for energy. And then services and other, it's 2848. So up 31% year over year on that line. I didn't mention it for energy, but that was up 113% year over year. Let's get that regulatory credit number in there as well. So that was $692 million. We already talked about that, but we'll see how that flows through down here when we get into cost. So for that, all right, so total automotive cost of revenues was $16,510. Energy costs, $2,289. Services and other cost, 2729. All right, so there we can see, and that total gross profit line that matches. Great. Okay. Now we can see here, like we said, a little bit soft in some of these numbers. This is definitely the softest, 13.6% automotive gross margin X credits. This is one of the lines that I always say is one of the most important. Again, I think this was one of the reasons for the strong reaction of the Q3 earnings report. Was that really strong surprise on that gross margin X credit line for automotive at 17%. That was up significantly from a declining trend that we had seen for the last couple of quarters. But now, you know, much, much softer line here in the fourth quarter, even though Tesla did have higher delivery volume by about, 32,000 vehicles or so. And that generally helps with costs. But of course, you know, looks like Tesla on the average selling price line probably faced a bit of a hit there, a pretty significant hit. So you also combine that with lower energy gross margins, even though Tesla had quite a bit higher energy deployments. And then services and other, I'm guessing a lot of that, maybe we'll get more detail in the 10Q, but generally a lot of the profit here is driven from the used car business. So not terribly surprising to see some softness in the automotive gross margin line also being reflected on the services and other line, as you know, when there's pricing pressure on the new car business, that's probably also apparent in the used car vehicle business, or the used vehicle business as well. At any rate, 16.3% total gross margin, obviously 240 basis points below what analyst consensus expectations were. Again, doesn't mean anything horrible, just what the expectations were from a group of analysts following the company. Still, if given the choice, obviously would prefer to have the numbers above those expectations than below. But it looks like, you know, there's at least some things in here that the market's reacting positively to, despite falling short on some of those analyst expectations. All right, R&D, SG&A, let's take a look at those. So R&D was 1276. So I think that's probably an all-time high for R&D. Could unhide these columns and look, but my guess is that's probably an all-time high, certainly at least a high over the last year or so. Not anything crazy, but maybe, you know, $100 million, $120 million higher than what we had seen in the last few quarters. SG&A, let's see, that was 1313, so also a little bit higher there, but not too crazy versus previous quarters. Tesla did say that some of the R&D spend related to AI, so, you know, not surprising that that's an increased area of importance for Tesla. That's continued to be the case, whether we're talking R&D or CapEx. I would guess that if you had visibility into percentage of those buckets that was AI related, I would guess that that percentage has pretty significantly increased over the last couple of years. So if you take out AI stuff, I'm sure those R&D buckets are probably going down. But as I've always said, no problem with Tesla spending on R&D. I think Tesla's proven to be a very great allocator of capital over the years. Expect that to continue to be the case. All right, so restructuring and other, there is a $7 million cost in here, or gain. Let's see. I think that's a cost. Yeah. So $7 million cost in here, maybe just a continuation of some of the restructuring costs that we'd seen in previous quarters. They did not put the Bitcoin. Well, let's see. Maybe that's just a line that I consolidate. Nope, that's not hitting operating income. So when we talked about that mark-to-market, I'm going to have to see exactly where that falls. I'm thinking it falls somewhere below. Well, yeah, definitely falls below the operating income line. So a little bit different than what we would have seen with the impairment before, which fell above the operating margin line, which means that this is, you know, the 6.2% that we're seeing here. This is more of a true number, not influenced by that Bitcoin like it had previously been in some quarters, you know, many quarters ago, but for those of you that remember those periods. So at any rate, significantly below analyst expectations there, operating income about $1.6 billion, almost $1 billion short of analyst expectations, which that's why, you know, part of why I was surprised to see the stock being up, and I still am wondering if I'm missing something, but let me know. I see some new super chats, so I'll take a look at those. All right, EBITDA. Let's take a look at that. Adjusted EBITDA, 4922. So still a pretty good number there. That probably starts to include that Bitcoin mark. So maybe we're talking like $4.3 billion without that. We'll just have to... This is a new accounting thing, so I don't know it off the top of my head. And I think companies have some optionality. It might just be like when they wanted to adopt it for when they're doing that stuff. But... something we'll have to learn about as we look at these results. Non-GAAP net income, let's see, that was 2566, so a little bit higher, but again, maybe that includes the Bitcoin. Stock-based compensation, I did highlight these just slightly differently and left a little comment here. I noticed this as I was just looking at the numbers, and we actually talked about it last quarter as some of my spreadsheet wasn't calculating correctly. Stock-based compensation, there's two different types of this now. You'll be able to see a stock-based compensation number and then a stock-based compensation number net tax. the net tax stock-based compensation number is the one that is being used in the GAAP earnings calculation. So the difference in non-GAAP and GAAP earnings is just stock-based compensation. GAAP includes that, non-GAAP factors it out. Previously, this net tax bucket, there was no difference in this between the actual stock-based compensation that's listed. Once Tesla recognized in Q4 last year that deferred tax recognition, for lack of a better word, once that was recognized, then I noticed that the next quarter they started having this net tax adjustment, which actually has the effect of reducing the stock-based compensation impact on GAAP earnings. Now, this is a lot to follow, but basically what I'm saying is that this is maybe like $100 million lower each quarter than it used to be. That stock-based compensation still exists. It's just like net of tax. So you'll notice you can see a smaller difference between GAAP earnings per share and non-GAAP earnings per share. It used to be like 14 cents. Now it's more like 10 cents after that happened. So I don't know if that's really important to anyone, but just if you're looking at any of that and got confused, I was temporarily confused by that. So just a clarifying point there. Anyway, let's take a look at what that number is actually this quarter. And I can just help explain it to you. I'll switch back to the browser here for 1 second. So you can see stock-based compensation is $579 million. And then we'll try to go forward here. And then you can see the actual expense net of tax was only $249 million. So an even more significant difference this quarter. And that's going to, again, pull GAAP earnings per share and non-GAAP earnings per share closer. So the 249 is what we want in terms of how the spreadsheet is set up. So we'll put that there. But just note that actual stock-based compensation is higher. I don't really fully understand the accounting of that. I kind of just figured this out, so I need to spend more time on that. But that should leave us with non-GAAP or GAAP net income of 2317. So I'm just going to check that number, then we'll go back to Excel here. Yeah, 2317, perfect. So that's there. Let's flip back to Excel. Okay, and then we've just got non-GAAP earnings per share, so I think that was 0.73. So still some slight improvement quarter over quarter, but again, that's mostly driven by the Bitcoin thing. So again, you can see that the non-GAAP and GAAP earnings per share, just because the stock-based compensation net tax is so low, certainly relative to both historical and to the actual stock-based compensation, not net of tax, that gap is narrowing over time. Or at least in these few quarters. Free cash flow was 2031. So Tesla mentioned the $2 billion there we talked about. I didn't have the analyst consensus on that this time. Okay. So I would guess that all of these sort of net lines that are included below the operating margin line, I think these all probably have like $600 million extra, essentially. Just because, you know, you're looking at lower total gross profit, you're looking at lower operating income, and then somehow we get to this line and all of a sudden EBITDA is up, non-GAAP net income slightly up, GAAP net income slightly up. So that's definitely where that $600 million of Bitcoin markup is happening. And I believe since Tesla seems to now be adopting that accounting method, I think that that will continue just every quarter now. There will be that mark to market for whatever Bitcoin is at. I don't know if that goes off like the last price at the end of the quarter or if it's some sort of average. We can look more closely at that before next quarter, but that will continue to influence these bottom line numbers, which again will just make them even, not that they're not important, they are important, but again, some of the other stuff is more informative than just looking at the bottom number without any of the context. Unfortunately, in this case, the context I think makes the numbers significantly worse for the quarter, but you know, it's still better than if they hadn't made the Bitcoin investment. It does help them, obviously, with Bitcoin being at all-time high. That is real money, real cash that Tesla can use, but obviously it's something that's different from their standard business. All right, so let's look at we'll talk a little bit more about some of these numbers, but let's just calculate this average selling price and average cost of goods sold. So I need auto revenue for leasing. So that's 447. And then costs, that's 242. And deliveries, was 26,962. All right, so there we get our average cost of goods sold of 34,700, so right around where we had speculated based off that chart. And then average selling price, yeah, you can see a pretty big drop there. About $2,000 lower average selling price this quarter than last quarter. You know, we've seen that continue to decline, but that seems to be one of the bigger drops that we've seen in the fourth quarter. Might also explain, you know, part of why Tesla wasn't able to get to the 510,000 or whatever that year-over-year mark requirement would have been. They clearly took significant pricing action here, and unfortunately still weren't quite able to get to that level. But I think, you know, it's also a period of time where a lot of people were aware that there's probably a new Model Y coming. Obviously, that's Tesla's biggest volume vehicle, so it's tough to be a little bit too critical on that, or I guess it would be maybe unwise to be too critical of that during a period of time like that, where, you know, you've got probably the most significant Osborne effect happening until the actual product comes out, which now Tesla's got to ramp that up, and there's going to be that Osborne effect obviously more visible. But it's a factor that I wouldn't just completely write off or discount for the fourth quarter. So anyway, ASP down 9% year over year, average cost of goods sold down 4% year over year. So Tesla's talked about, you know, this progress on average cost of goods sold. They're going to continue to make it, but it's probably going to be a little bit slower now. Hopefully with these new, more affordable products, which seem to still be on track for the first half of this year, which is great. Hopefully that can help with the average cost of goods sold here as those start to get to volume production. Not something I would expect to really hit us for the next few quarters, but maybe as we get into the first part of next year or the, you know, later parts of this year, that'll start to be a factor. Okay, so I think we kind of talked through most of these numbers. We probably don't need to spend a ton of time going through, but, you know, as you can intuitively understand, there's a significantly lower automotive gross margin or automotive revenue because of this average selling price decline. So you had, you know, deliveries up 2% year over year. I don't have the quarter over quarter, but obviously you can kind of do the math on that, 7 or 8% or whatever it is. So 2% increase in deliveries year over year, but a 9% decline in average selling price. You know, obviously that's netting out then at lower automotive sales year over year, even though you do have the benefit of the slight increase in regulatory credit sales, which is even more beneficial for the gross profit here. Even with that, though, still down about 6% with just the pressure on pricing for the quarter. So that's a big deal. That being said, still nice to see the cost decline, and hopefully something that'll continue. But really, now we're onto the new Model Y. Hopefully that can help with some of the pricing pressure that Tesla experienced. It took a little bit for me with the new Model Y. With the design changes, I was kind of like on the fence initially, but still confident that this would be a significant upgrade. I think now that we're starting to see them more in stores, seeing better non-potato camera views of the actual vehicle, it's growing on me, which is kind of what I expected. Generally, that happens with a lot of Tesla designs. You know, I said that a lot about the Cybertruck early on. Definitely something you kind of need to see in person to really get a feel for. And I think the older Model Y is now already starting to look a little bit dated, even just here in, you know, a week or two since the new Model Y has been out. So no offense to anyone with the new Model Y, is still obviously, or with the older Model Y, is still an amazing vehicle. But I do think that overall the design changes is likely to be positive. And I think as we get more used to seeing it, it'll probably grow on people as well. I think the feedback so far has been relatively positive, but just kind of my perception on it. Automotive profit, so, you know, nothing too much to talk about here. I think these are, you know, pretty direct consequences of what we had talked about with average selling price and cost. So no huge shock on any of those lines. Regulatory credits probably in line. Energy profit, it's a little bit disappointing to see the margin decline there, just because we did see it spike so much last quarter. And you think with maybe even better deliveries in terms of gigawatt hours deployed this quarter, maybe there was a possibility that could come in at like a 33 or 35 or something like that. But back more towards this 25% margin, which again, I think the best way to look at this is sort of like a rolling 6 month. So it just helps reduce a lot of the volatility that you're going to see from quarter to quarter, which is, I think, inherent with just how this business model is set up. Services, another we talked about. R&D, SG&A, we talked about. So relatively high operating expenses. Tesla, in general, does a phenomenal job controlling those, so not something that I'm worried about. I think generally in Q4, those, you know, might increase a little bit too. I'd probably have to go back and look at the historicals to get a sense of if that's really happening, but wouldn't be terribly surprising, especially the SG&A line. So 6.2% operating margin. And then we talked about these, I think, receiving the benefit of the Bitcoin mark-to-market. The rest, I think we'll have to wait for the 10Q to see, you know, what's going on with some other factors, like was there any deferred revenue this quarter for FSD or whatever else. All right, I'm going to switch back to the browser. I'm going to take a couple of quick questions here and then got to wrap up just to finish up the prep for the earnings call. Again, we'll go through that together. The link for that is down in the description here for those that want to participate. One second. Okay. Let's see. Stock's still hanging in there. That's great. 402, up 3.5%. So that's probably close to where we started the day at. Not far off. So great. I'll take it. All right. So I do see a number of super chats in here. I'm just going to try to get to those. And I know someone had asked about like Elon and political stuff. Again, let's do that after the earnings call. Cause we are coming up on that here. All right. I think I left off on Lyles, but, most interested in power and semi topics. So yep, I think we're getting close on semi. I know Tesla over the last quarter or so has started to roll that out to at least one new partner, maybe a couple new partners for just sort of vehicle testing. So great to see that. As I mentioned, Zangler's doing a great job of tracking the Tesla Semi, kind of like Joe Tagmeyer and others are doing at Giga Texas. Zangler's doing that at Giga Nevada. So just keep an eye on how that's progressing, but obviously quite a lot of progress in the last 6 months. So nice to see that. And then, yeah, obviously in the energy business continues to do really well. So I do think there's some risk with the energy business in terms of like IRA funding and stuff and how that's affecting energy gross margins. So just something to keep in mind. I don't know exactly how all of that accounting wise is working out for Tesla. But I do think that there are some of those IRA battery credits that are, even though these cells are from China, I do still think there's at least some impact, some benefit that Tesla's getting from the IRA for energy right now. So, Citibert, tell us what you've been up to. Yeah, First Principles Group. So that's the full-time thing now. It's been going great. So, feels like old times. Yeah, it's always nice to be back. Doesn't feel like a normal stream. I haven't heard of Fire Engine yet. There were a few. I don't know if they came through, but I've heard a few. More than quarterly would be wonderful. No promises, but if people can let me know, I'm sure people want more frequency, but yeah, it is helpful to just have the feedback. Arash, thank you. Appreciate that. Patrick, awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. Tesla Pilot asking, given the U.S. is withdrawing from the Paris Climate Agreement, do you think Tesla should sign on in support as other companies have? I think it's very unlikely that Tesla would do that. Based on, you know, Elon's current views on those types of things, I would find that pretty surprising. Now, it also doesn't mean that Elon doesn't care about the environment or whatever. Like this, it's more a manner of how things are achieved. And I think Elon is, you know, generally not in favor of a heavy regulatory burden. He wants clean energy to come because clean energy deserves to come, not because it's forced from a regulatory perspective. And I think, you know, what Elon has done with Tesla has been tremendous in terms of helping make that progress. So I think that's kind of how Elon approaches it. Everyone can have their own views on that. I'm trying to, you know, put into words, I think, how Elon thinks about it. And obviously I could be wrong, but that's my perception of it. Is Tesla Solar dead? It's certainly not looking great. I mentioned a couple of quarters ago, but we saw the, you know, the removal of the energy generation deployments line. Yeah, this used to have energy generation deployed as well, and that got removed. So obviously not a great sign. I think I think we'd all love to see the solar roof someday be successful. Outside of that business, I can't imagine that Tesla's probably going to try to do too much with rooftop solar. But, you know, maybe at some point, if they keep the solar roof as sort of like an R&D type of situation, maybe at some point they make a breakthrough on that. Maybe Optimus can help that, reach its intended vision in terms of like installation costs and things like that. So I wouldn't say it's dead, but obviously it's not looking extremely great at the moment. All right, Scott saying, Tesla tweeted, we're also expecting to launch robotaxi services in parts of the U.S. later this year and continue to work on launching FSD. Okay, so that was in the earnings report, but maybe just, I'm guessing this was a response to like what's going on aftermarket. That could have been a factor in terms of, you know, that little bit of a reversal that we saw. I guess pretty significant reversal that we saw. Derek, thank you. Mario, thank you. VB, thank you. Frank, thank you. Tesla Weekly, please. Weekly, that's probably going to be a stretch. That's probably going to be a stretch. But Sunny, thank you. I'm hearing the feedback, though. Tesla Pilot again, there is only a potential Osborne effect because Tesla doesn't advertise. Most potential car buyers know nothing about the next Model Y. I'm a little bit confused, but I do think it's a fair point that most car buyers probably don't know a whole lot about the Model Y in advance of the Model Y being launched. I think that's fair, but I also think that Tesla buyers are, of like all car buyers in general, Tesla buyers are probably more likely to be informed on that type of thing, even with lack of advertising, just because I think it leans into like more tech, you know, observant demographics in terms of the Tesla customer base, which are probably a little bit more highly informed on technological innovations and upcoming products. So I think it's a good point, but I do think that Tesla over-indexes in terms of people that would be informed, if that makes sense. Turcot Macom, thank you. Sorry, I probably didn't get that right. Darko, more frequent streams, thank you. Lunic Links, thank you for the Tesla Monthly Fund. Yeah, maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should have some sort of funding thing that gets it back. No, I don't want to hold people over the head like that. Pretty please go back to Tesla Weekly, Tesla Quarterly. Tesla Quarterly is what we're doing now. I won't take that as a vote that way, though. All right, so I do have to do a little bit more setup for the earnings call, so probably a good place to wrap this up at. I do want to talk after the earnings call a little bit more. We can talk politics. I don't want to spend like a ton of time on that, but we can talk about that. We can talk about my new vehicle, obviously got the new Model 3, talk about FSD version 13, my experiences with that. So I guess I'll leave that as, you know, I don't really do cliffhangers, but just in the interest of time, we'll leave that for after the earnings report. But good to be back. Good to see everyone. Glad the market reaction is relatively positive so far from the earnings report. And we'll see what they have to say on the earnings call. That could completely change the trend or maybe accelerate it. So we'll see you soon. Again, the link for that is down in the description. Thank you.